Hello again, brave hearts and brilliant minds. I'm Harmonia, goddess of balance, observer of chaos, and the only one in my family who's willing to follow Dionysus into a party without asking questions, which is good, because he never answers them. Dionysus, god of wine, of vines, of theater, of transformation, of masks and madness, freedom and frenzy, dancing and destruction and delight. He's not like the others. He didn't grow up on Olympus. He wasn't even supposed to be an Olympian. But he got there anyway, because Dionysus doesn't ask for space. He takes it. And when he enters a room, nothing stays the same. He brings joy. He brings tears. He brings truth with a twist. He's wild, yes, but not careless. He's dangerous, but not cruel. And in a world full of rules, Dionysus shows us what happens when you let go. Today's episode is about masks and what they hide. It's about freedom and what it costs. It's about a god who was born twice, lost everything, and came back laughing. So tie some ivy in your hair, step out of your comfort zone, and leave the door open, because Dionysus is already inside. Dionysus doesn't lift mountains. He doesn't throw thunder. He doesn't craft golden weapons or shoot flaming arrows. What he does is stranger. He changes things. He changes people. He changes realities. He's the god of transformation, not just vines twisting up a wall or grapes turning to wine, but deeper shifts. Grief into laughter, fear into song, pain into something you can dance through. Wherever Dionysus goes, the normal rules bend. Sometimes they melt entirely. He can make mortals see visions. Hear music no one's playing. Speak truths they were too scared to whisper. He inspires actors and playwrights not just to perform, but to become someone else. He teaches you to step outside yourself, and in doing so, to see who you really are. But don't mistake him for a trickster. He doesn't deceive. He reveals. That's his true power. He doesn't destroy order just to watch it fall. He does it to show what was hiding under the surface all along. And sometimes, what he reveals is beautiful, other times terrifying. Both are true. His followers dance until dawn, laughing, sobbing, shouting with joy, and wake up changed. Not because he forced them to, because they let go. Because Dionysus invites them to. He can turn a stick into a serpent, water into wine, a stage into a sacred space. He can strike you mad or set you free. Often both. And when people try to control him, contain him, deny him, it never ends well. Because Dionysus is not a god you can schedule. He shows up when the world needs shaking, when the lies get too loud, when the masks are glued on too tight. That's when the ivy grows through the cracks. That's when the music starts. That's when Dionysus arrives, not with a sword, but with a smile. And just like that, everything changes. Dionysus wasn't supposed to make it. Not the first time, not the second, not at all. His mother, Semele, was mortal, a princess of Thebes. His father, well, you already know, Zeus. That's never simple. Semele was brave, clever, and deeply in love. Zeus promised her anything, anything, and she asked to see him in his full divine form. Big mistake, because no mortal can survive the full glory of Zeus, not even one carrying his child. So when he revealed himself, lightning, thunder, flame, Semele was incinerated in a flash of godfire, gone, but not quite. Because inside her was Dionysus, a god, half-formed, half-born, still alive, and Zeus, in a rare moment of grief and cleverness, acted fast. He reached into the smoke, found the unborn child, and sewed him into his own thigh. Yes, you heard that right. Zeus carried Dionysus in his thigh for months, until he was ready, and then, boom, birth number two. That's why they call Dionysus the twice-born. Born from flame, born from flesh. Born from love and loss and the strange determination of gods who don't want to lose what matters. But the danger wasn't over. Hera, Zeus's wife, was not thrilled, understandably. So to protect the baby, Zeus sent him far away. Different stories say different things. Some say Hermes carried him to a secret cave. Some say he was raised by woodland nymphs or in a far-off land beyond the reach of Olympus. What's clear is this. Dionysus grew up outside the system. He didn't learn godhood in golden halls. He learned it among mortals, among outsiders, among the overlooked and the underestimated. He wandered the world in disguise, never the same twice, a shepherd, a dancer, a stranger with glowing eyes and a grapevine crown. He brought joy where there was sorrow, wine where there was want, and a kind of freedom that frightened kings. People tried to lock him out. He walked through the walls. People mocked him. He smiled and let ivy grow through their palaces overnight. People said, "You don't belong here." And he said, "I already am here." Eventually, even Olympus had to agree. The gods voted. Some said no, but the vote didn't matter, because Dionysus didn't come to fit in. He came to change what it meant to belong. And when he took his seat among the 12 Olympians, wearing a leopard skin and pouring wine into golden cups, he didn't just bring chaos. He brought a new kind of divinity, one born not from power, but from pain. One that knew what it meant to be broken, and to come back dancing. Once, long ago, a group of pirates saw a boy standing on a rocky shore. He looked lost, barefoot, cloaked in ivy. A little too pretty, a little too calm, easy target. So they picked him up, dragged him onto their ship, tied him to the mast. They laughed. "We'll sell him," they said. "Maybe he's a prince. We'll make a fortune." The boy didn't resist. He just sat there, smiling. One of the crew, only one, paused. "Something's not right," he whispered. "Look at him. That's not a normal boy." But the others jeered. "It's just wine on your breath." They set sail, and that's when things started to shift. First, the ropes slipped from his wrists, like they'd untied themselves. Then, vines started creeping across the deck. Grapevines, blooming, growing, twisting through the wood. Then came the animals. A leopard appeared, right there on the ship, growling like it had always lived there. The mast dripped honey, the sails turned to ivy, music played from nowhere, drums from the deep, flutes from the sky. The ship groaned, the pirates screamed, and the boy, he stood up, smiling wider now, no weapons, no threats, just presence. They tried to run, too late. One by one, the pirates leapt into the sea, only to find themselves changing. Their legs fused, their arms shrank. They became dolphins. Yes, dolphins. Not dead, not punished, just transformed. Sentenced to swim forever beneath the waves, playful and lost, chasing ships but never boarding them. Only one pirate remained, the one who had hesitated. Dionysus placed a hand on his shoulder. "You listened," he said, "and let him go." That boy on the shore, that was Dionysus, god of transformation, god of masks, god of what were you expecting? He doesn't rage like Ares. He doesn't argue like Athena. He simply arrives, and the world rearranges itself around him. That's the power of Dionysus. Not brute force. Revelation. The pirates didn't recognize him, because he didn't look like a god, because he didn't act like what they thought power should be. But gods don't need to look the part. They are the part. And Dionysus, he turned a kidnapping into a miracle, and a ship into a floating forest of truth. I've always found Dionysus unsettling. Not because he's cruel, he isn't. Not because he's loud, that's Hermes. Not because he's unpredictable, that's Ares. No, what unsettles me is that Dionysus sees everything, the things you try to hide, the truths you laugh off, the pain behind the party, the person behind the mask. He walks into a room and everyone gets nervous, but no one knows why, and then he says, "Dance." And the mask slips. He doesn't do it to embarrass you. He does it because you've been holding something inside for so long you forgot how heavy it was. And maybe you need to let it out. That's why I respect Dionysus, even when he makes me uncomfortable, because he's not just the god of joy, he's the god of the moment after, the quiet when the music stops. The ache in your chest when the laughter fades, the feeling that you survived something, but you're not sure what. He was born from grief, raised in hiding, mocked, doubted, exiled, and he came back anyway, smiling. He doesn't fit the mold. So he reshapes it. He teaches us that the parts of ourselves we're told to bury, the weirdness, the wildness, the tears at the wrong time, those are not flaws, they're openings. He gives people a space to lose control, just long enough to remember who they really are. So if you've ever felt like you don't belong, maybe you belong with Dionysus, not because he'll fix it, but because he'll remind you. You don't have to. You're already whole, even if you're still changing. So that was Dionysus, the god of ecstasy, of theater, of madness, yes, but also meaning. He's the one who sees you when you don't even see yourself. He doesn't ask you to sit still. He asks you to feel. He doesn't offer control. He offers freedom. And like it or not, freedom is messy. But here's the thing. Dionysus doesn't destroy the world. He reminds you it was already cracked. He just dances through the break and dares you to follow. Next time, though, we go deeper. Before the gods, you know, there were others, titans, and the king of them all was Cronus, a god who feared being replaced, a father who swallowed his children. Literally, his story is older than thunder, older than light. It's the story of time itself and what happens when time refuses to let go. We'll visit the age before Olympus, before law, before harmony, when power meant taking, not sharing, and children had to fight their way out of their father's stomach just to be heard. If Dionysus is freedom, Cronus is fear, and fear has a very long memory. So sharpen your sickles and step carefully. The Age of Titans is calling. Dionysus taught me something no one else could, that not every truth is quiet, that not every path is straight, and that sometimes what looks like chaos is actually healing. He doesn't wear armor. He wears ivy. He doesn't march. He dances. And in a world full of rules, sometimes the bravest thing you can do is feel everything. So if you ever find yourself laughing and crying at the same time, don't be embarrassed. You're not broken. You're becoming. And Dionysus, he's already waiting at the edge of the dance floor, smiling. Until next time, my dancing friend, much love. I am Harmonia. Oh, before you go, one more thing. Traveler, if you enjoyed our time together in the halls of Olympus, there's a gift you can give in return. Just a little thing. Leave a 5-star rating and share this podcast with a friend or whisper it to the wind. The gods love a good rumor. And if you're curious about the mortal world, its twists, its triumphs, its tangled histories, come find me in my other podcast, History's Arrow. There, we follow the path of humanity, one story at a time. Until next time, walk wisely, speak kindly, and never underestimate the power of a good story. Your friend, Harmonia. This podcast sails out to you from Red Buoy Media, LLC. The stories we share are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International. That means you can pass them along, remix them, and even argue with them. Just give us credit, don't try to sell them, and share responsibly. Thanks for listening, friend. Until our next adventure.